Greetings, friends. Welcome to another episode of the Soul Real Podcast. We're sharing only deep and meaningful and real vibes about life. This is Soul Man, and I hope that you enjoy this episode on What is Your Life Purpose? What is your purpose? What really is the purpose of your life, of your existence? And this is a question that more and more and more people are asking every day, as it seems that the inherent meaninglessness of our modern culture becomes more apparent. More people are waking up to ask, what really is the purpose of my life? And generally, when we asked that question, it's asked with a sense of a sort of confusion, of lack of clarity, a doubt, you know, of how to find my purpose and what is my purpose. So there's lots of confusion there. So I want to reflect on that idea of purpose today to see what light we could shine on this idea of purpose. First of all, let me ask the question, what is my purpose? What do we really mean by purpose? There seems to be a general sense when we ask that question, we think of purpose in a way that's like, there is this thing that we need to accomplish, that we need to achieve with our life. There is this groove that we need to fit, this piece that we need to fit, that we need to accomplish in order to achieve our life's purpose. And to me, that view of purpose, that picture, engenders lots of anxiety and fear and even confusion about it, because there's such a high chance that we will never find that one groove within all of the confusion of life and the excess of information and ideas, you know. What if we never find that thing? There's a lot of anxiety in that picture. So what can we really understand about purpose? And what does nature say about purpose? Nature, the primary revelation of knowledge and truth and reality, nature. What is purpose in nature? You know, to take it out of the context of just our own lives, because we always seem to tend to overthink and overcomplicate and just crap all over everything when it comes to our own lives. But to step back and look and see nature, when you look at a tree and you ask, what is the purpose of that tree? What is the purpose of a cloud? What is the purpose of a planet? What is the purpose of a star? We're really asking two things. Asking, what is it doing? What is its function? But also, what is its meaning? What is the purpose of it? What is its significance for being? What is its meaning? And I think that second question is the more important one for us to understand purpose, because the function of anything in nature is what it does by its nature. You know, everything in nature is fulfilling a certain function. Every creature in a forest has a certain function that it fulfills for the health of the overall forest, the overall ecosystem. And that the function, the purpose of each creature in that sense, its function, is just what it naturally does by its existence. A tree naturally just photosynthesizes. A tree naturally transpires water into the air. It naturally moves sugars and carbohydrates into the soil to make the soil healthy. By just its very nature, it is fulfilling a certain function. So there's purpose in that way of just the natural order of what something is. When we look at purpose in the sense of what is its meaning for its existence, its deeper significance of why it is there, you can see that everything is only given its a sense of significance and meaning within the context of the whole. I mean, like we just said, the tree, every creature, every organism, its function is for the overall harmony and balance of the whole ecosystem. You can't look at any one thing in isolation to understand its meaning. Everything is meaningless and it's in pure isolation. I mean, if you look at a tree in isolation from the sunlight coming into the leaves, from the water, the nutrients coming up in the roots, it's absolutely meaningless. If you look at it in isolation from the animals that eat the fruit and help it to reproduce, the bees, the insects that come and help to pollinate, it's nothing. It doesn't even exist. We can't look at something in isolation to understand what its deeper and greater significance is. We look at everything in the context, the greater picture of what it is a part of. And the greater picture of nature. What is the purpose of nature as a whole? What is its significance? What is its function? Well, what is it that nature is doing? If we sit, observe, open our senses, open our heart and mind and awareness to what nature is doing, what do we see? The forest, every day, is existing. A forest is simply existing in harmony. It's maintaining an overall balance, an overall harmony for all of the organisms within it to live, to thrive. And it is evolving. It is adapting to changes in the environment, and it is evolving. It changes. New ecosystems emerge, new environments emerge, new species emerge. And each day that we go, it is made anew. And the story is progressing, it is evolving, it's adapting to change and becoming new. It exists in harmony, adapts, evolves to become new, and then exists in that newness, and then adapts within that newness and creates the new again. The forest is doing that, all of life on earth is doing that, and all of nature, the whole nature, the nature of the universe, has always been that happening, it's always been that process. As we've talked about a lot of times in this podcast already, you know, looking at the formation of stars, of galaxies, of planets, it's from the initial gases of the universe that nature adapted from those gases to create a structure, a stable structure of a star. And with that new form, that new evolution of a star, it is a new circumstance, new conditions. And then out of that new, those new conditions, there is an adaptation that takes place. And then changes come in, and adaptation takes place, and a new evolution occurs. The star, over its lifespan, is creating all of these elements within it. And then there's a change, a dynamic change, and the star explodes, a supernova. And then nature adapts to those new conditions, and out of that creates the new, out of the elements of the supernova, becomes the asteroids and the planets. And within the new conditions of a planet, then nature again adapts the elemental forces all playing out within a planet, within the Earth. Then nature adapts by bringing forth a new evolution, a new structure, a living cell. And that living cell adapting to its own environment, its own circumstances around it, it adapts and evolves generation after generation. Evolves by adapting to its environment, and by its evolution, by its adaptation, it changes its relationship with its environment, and by that it adapts again and evolves again, and the story keeps on progressing. From the primordial gas of the universe to the stars, the galaxies, the planets, the life forms, the living cells, the plants, the animals, the funguses, the bacteria, the human beings, the you and me. That is the eternal process of nature. Nature has always been this creative unfolding of moving to greater orders of complexity, of intelligence, and greater expressions of creativity. Greater expressions of creativity that exist, that experience, that adapt to their circumstances, and then bring forth an even new expression of creativity. And so on and so on and so on. It's been going since the beginning of our universe, and it continues even now. So, what is the purpose of nature? Well, look at the process of nature, look what nature has been doing. All we can know and see about nature is that it is this continual unfolding of creative intelligence, bringing forth the new, the new, the new, expressing itself in new ways, new forms, new structures, new dynamics. That's what nature has always been doing and still continues to do. And that is the process that has brought you and I forward into existence. That is what we are, the result of that process, and we are the continuation of that process. Now, just taking a step back here, because we could look at that process sort of analytically, logically, and see it as a sequence and see what's happening and try to understand it intellectually. But if we observe nature, connect with nature, with your heart, with your inner feeling, you can see that this is not just some conceptual, abstract process of just creation happening, but each new form that has come forth in the universe is a new expression of beauty, of interest, of awe, of wonder, of incredible new forms and colors and music and beauty, the light of stars, the galaxies, the form, the dance, the spin of galaxies and planet Earth, life on planet Earth. With each new unfolding of this creative intelligence, there is a bringing forth of new expressions of beauty. So it's not just some static, abstract process. It's the same process that we as human beings in our creative art, the same process, the joy that comes to an artist in creating his art. You know, you create something of beauty and it brings forth that emotion, that feeling of deep, deep satisfaction and joy. That to me is a better way of understanding what the universe is doing. And I mean, it's not even just a metaphor. Like, why is it that we, when we create art, experience this deep satisfaction? In those moments of creating art, we are lining up with what the universe has been doing from the beginning. We are extending that same creative process of the universe now through art. To me, there's a reason why it feels so beautiful, so joyful, so magical. That is the sign that it is in harmony with the universal unfolding. So, in this context, what is our purpose? Why would our purpose be any different than the purpose of the entire universe? All things since the beginning, the first ever atoms, the first ever stars, galaxies, planets, all things, every bacteria, every cell, has been an expression of the universal creative unfolding and continues the process of that creative unfolding. Each thing, by its existence, it experiences a certain level, certain conditions, and out of those conditions, it brings forth the next most beautiful form, the next most beautiful expression that is possible. Using the materials of the current conditions of where it is, it brings forth the next most beautiful form, the next most beautiful expression. So again, why would we think that it would be any different with us? We have come forth from that process and we are the continuation of that process. Why would we think it is any different with us? Well, friends, to me, this is another part of this conditioning of our dysfunctional culture, a dysfunctional way of thinking that has taken hold in our species as humanity. This idea that we are different than the rest of the universe, that we are these separate egos, just these separate forms contained in our bodies, and that we need to fight and defend ourselves to prove our worth, to prove that we are something. We separate ourselves from the sacredness of the entire universe, every single atom, every single cell. And being separate now, we have to prove that we are worth anything. Because we've cut ourselves off from the infinite flow of divine worthiness. And now in that state of littleness and separation, that our mind, our egos, our culture make us feel is the greater way, that it is something beneficial to gain from us feeling that we are these separate egos, to prove ourselves over others, to prove ourselves over things. Almost as if these egos and our culture makes us think that we will be happier if we separate ourselves and see ourselves in this way. But look, now we live with this deep sense of meaninglessness, of purposelessness, of not knowing why we are here and what we are doing. Does that really make us happier? No. We are. Each of us is, you are, an expression of this eternal, creative, universal unfolding. Your significance as part of that, you are equal to every star and every atom in the whole of the universe. Yet, you are unique and you have your own individual significance because you are the only you. You are the only expression of the universal unfolding that has the exact conditions and circumstances that you do. Nothing else in all of the universe ever has or ever will have the exact conditions that you do. So what you can bring forth from the conditions of your life is totally unique than what anything else ever in the universe could bring forward. Now, I think this could probably still be sort of abstract, but how do you make it really practical to know and to live day by day feeling deeply what our purpose is? Well, again, friends, the conditions of your life are totally unique. Your parents, your upbringing, the type of environment that you were born into, the environment that surrounds you now, the natural inclinations and talents that you may have, the natural desires that you may have, the desires that are born inside of you as a result of the life experience that you have lived, all of these are totally unique to you. And all of these are the materials that we use to create the next. Just like the primordial gas, the ancient gas, just like the original primordial hydrogen gas that filled the universe were the conditions from which a star was able to come forward. Now the primordial gas of all the circumstances of your life and your environment are the materials from which we can bring forth the next beautiful expression. So what does that really mean, to bring forth the next beautiful expression? Well, what to you personally in your heart is the most beautiful thing from where you are now, what you can imagine to be the next most beautiful step for you in your life, for the world that you live in, for the environment that surrounds you, that is your impulse to creation. That is that eternal unfolding of creative intelligence now expressing itself through you. The call of beauty, the call of creative expansion. What to you is the most beautiful thing for tonight, for the next day, for this next week, this next month, this year, for your entire life? What to you is the most beautiful thing? Now, I think just for clarity's sake, because again, there always tends to be so much confusion around this idea of what is our purpose, I think it's important to step back and really put our finger on all of the conditionings, all of the things that cause the confusion, cause the anxiety, and cause us not to recognize what this natural impulse of beauty is and what our natural purpose is. What are some of the conditionings of our culture, and how do they express themselves when it comes to this idea of purpose? Well, the first one, which I already mentioned earlier, is this idea. There's this kind of subtle idea that there is some one purpose out there that is already set for us that we have to achieve, you know? It's almost this idea that there is some authority figure out there, somebody who knows more and who knows what our purpose is and is waiting for us to achieve that purpose. And we need to try and discover what that purpose is in order to fulfill the will of this authority. To me, there's a lot of kind of anxiety and fear in that, you know, because what if we never succeed? And that conditioning goes extremely deep. I think it really goes extremely deep. It's important to acknowledge it and see how it manifests itself in life in many different ways. Any kind of form of when your mind comes in and tells you you should or you shouldn't, all of that again is the idea that there is some outside standard, some outside authority that knows. And we, in the confusion of our minds, are trying to figure out whether we should do something, whether we shouldn't do something, whether we can or can't. We're trying to figure out what the will of this authority is. And because we don't know in our minds, there's this continual conflict and doubt and anxiety of should I or shouldn't I. Something I've been, in the last few weeks of my life, really, really, really keenly aware of noticing, is whenever that should and shouldn't mind comes in, that to me is a sure sign that I'm not coming from the deepest truth of who I am. So only when we separate ourselves to feel that we are these tiny little egos who, separate from the whole flow of creation, we don't know anything, we are meaningless, we are weak, and we are powerless, then the mind comes in as a substitute to try and figure out, okay, well, if, you know, then what? What do I do? What should I do? What shouldn't I do? The anxiety and the confusion of not knowing, not being part of the natural flow, then our mind comes in to try and figure everything out. And it uses should and shouldn't. It uses judgment. It uses measurement against what other people are doing, what other things are doing, in order to give some sense of validation about who we are or what we're doing. I think that conditioning goes extremely, extremely deep, way deeper to even put our fingers on fully in one podcast. But any form of the manifestation, that idea that there is somebody out there, some authority out there that knows what we are supposed to be doing, we have to leave that idea aside. That is an illusion. If we are seeking to try and figure out what our purpose is, if we're trying to figure out what is that groove that we need to fit, if we're trying to figure out what is that thing that we need to achieve, then we're bound to live by anxiety and by frustration, because there isn't one. There isn't one objective thing out there. If we spend our lives in pursuit of that thing, we'll never find it because it doesn't exist. And rather than live fully our purpose and our meaning and our significance, we will instead be living our lives, wasting our energy, trying to figure out this thing that does not even exist. One of the other conditionings that keeps us from purpose, related as they all are, is this idea that we are trying to prove our worth, that we are trying to achieve something to prove that we are worth something, and that if we don't achieve that thing, then we will be unworthy. And I mean, this plays off in the fear of pursuing those things that are most beautiful to us, because we're afraid to fail and we're afraid to look like a fool. Both of these things are only scary because they imply a sense of unworthiness. If we fail or if we're a fool, it implies that we are less than others who haven't failed or who aren't fools. Comparing and judging ourselves against others, and the idea that achieving your purpose is about proving yourself. There's so much anxiety and fear in that that it destroys the beauty of following your purpose. That's another one. Another, again, related conditioning, I think, is the idea that your purpose is something that you need to achieve. That there is some goal that you are, your purpose is about working towards that goal so that you can one day achieve that goal and your purpose is complete and you can die happy. Again, what in nature reflects that? Nothing in nature has some end destination it's trying to achieve. All of nature is existing, expressing itself, experiencing its life, and adapting to change and creating the new, and then experiencing that, existing within that, and then creating the new. There's no one end. The only end that we can say is that things die. And when they die, they go back into the soil and they continue the story of the earth unfolding. So there is no end, even death. I think the idea of our purpose being this one thing that we need to achieve, again, takes us out of the beauty of purpose, because it becomes this kind of struggle, this battle. And even that idea even justifies the idea of struggle. The idea of struggle in our mind is that there is this thing out there that is worth us not living happily, not living in beauty, not living in harmony, because if we can sacrifice and suffer and struggle now in order that this future idea of some beauty will be achieved, then it seems to justify the living within struggle and unhappiness. But again, that is an illusion. There is no one destination, one thing to be achieved. So if we live our lives in struggle, justified by trying to achieve that thing, then we will never be fulfilled, because our life will be a continual struggle. That thing will never be achieved in the end. We will just be struggle after struggle after struggle. To me, the call of purpose is the call of beauty. It is recognizing and acknowledging that you are an infinitely worthy, sacred child of the universe. That you come from a universe that is unfolding beauty. It is something of creative intelligence. It is something of love, of something of goodness. So what within your heart and soul feels like beauty? What brings forward love inside of you? What brings forward happiness inside of you? That is your connection to the universal unfolding. That is the universal unfolding expressing itself in you. The idea of trying to achieve something to prove your worth, the idea of trying to achieve something to make some authority figure or even the people around you happy and approve of you, the idea of needing to struggle in order to do something good and of worth, these ideas are not in harmony with the universal flow of divine beauty unfolding. All of the universe is a creative expression of beauty, harmony, goodness. And out of the tension, out of the destruction, out of the forces of the universe that seem to be anti-love, anti-harmony, anti-goodness, all of those forces of destruction, of fire, of storm, of challenge, of painful circumstance, all of these things become the materials with which that creative intelligence of love and harmony is able to bring forward something new. I mean, look at it in our life, in your world. It's only when you experience something challenging, when you experience something that makes you unhappy maybe, or you experience something that seems unjust, all of these things that stir our hearts with the alarm signal of pain, they make us aware of a new possibility for our life. When we see somebody suffering, we see somebody starving, we see somebody unhappy, it's born within our hearts a wish, a will that there could be less unhappiness in the world. When you see an animal suffering, you feel the compassion of wishing that couldn't happen, wishing that it shouldn't happen. Out of the pain of seeing suffering or experiencing suffering, it is born in us a deeper desire, a deeper will to expand this story. We see suffering and we wish for less suffering and more joy. That is a call of beauty. That is a call of purpose. And I kind of say those things cautiously too, because I know, again, part of the conditioning of our culture, there tends to be this thing that comes in that says that to live your purpose, you have to be noble and sacrifice yourself for the happiness of others. That is almost, you know, sort of a religious idea. I don't think it's the genuine religious idea. I think it's part of the dysfunctional culture version of religion that we have to sacrifice our own happiness and beauty to serve others so that they can be happy. That makes no sense, because if you yourself are unhappy, are suffering, are living in struggle, then how can you give to anybody? What do you have to give? You are bitter, you are embittered, and your life will be suffering and struggle, and it'll be hard for you to even have the energy to wake up to serve those people that you feel you need to serve. Rather, if you live from a place of deepest beauty and happiness for yourself, then you're so full of joy and happiness that it's natural that you want to give. It's natural that by your very life you are bringing good to others in the world. I think that idea of us needing to sacrifice ourselves, that our purpose is about sacrificing ourselves for the goodwill of others, that is another manifestation of the idea that this authority figure out there in the universe knows what our purpose is, and that we need to try and please that authority figure in order that we can be, our purpose can be fulfilled. But coming back to it, the circumstances, the experiences of your life are the materials with which you can bring forth the new expressions of beauty in your life and in the world around you. So let's just make it very practical. Let's bring it down to the most practical for our lives. What is your purpose? What is my purpose? Well, what is your purpose today? What to you is the next most beautiful thing in your life? It might be as simple as on a day wanting to go to the beach. It might be as simple as wanting to call a friend you haven't talked to in a long time. It might be as simple as going to visit somebody who you haven't seen, to go and give them a little moment of beauty and goodness. Or it might be wanting to be alone, to sit and reflect and contemplate life. It's totally dependent on you and your upbringing and your circumstances. What is your individual impulse, your call to beauty? The thing that stirs your heart to feel like that would be a beautiful thing to do. That is your purpose now. And I think that purpose, in terms of our life purpose, we tend to think of life purpose as this one big, great, grand thing that is the meaning of our life. Well, even that big, great, grand thing comes as a natural evolution of following the call of beauty, following the thread of beauty. That has been my experience in my life. And I know for many others, that has been their experience as well, you know. You feel inspired to something, to do something, to try something. And you do it, and that leads to something else, which leads to something else, which leads to something else. Or it gets deeper and deeper and deeper until your whole entire life is living the manifestation of that beauty. If you got a call, a feeling of beauty to want to garden, and it's something that one day you just pick up and start doing, then you feel the growing call of beauty, and the next day you want to do it again, and the next day again and again and again. And each time you do it, it gets deeper and deeper and deeper, until one day you find that your whole entire life is gardening. You have a garden, you run a garden, you teach people about gardening. Your whole life is an expression of your joy of gardening. And by doing that, you are continuing the evolution of the universe. Now, as a human being, through your creative call of beauty, you are expressing the eternal creative unfolding of the universe in your life. If you feel a call to beauty that you want to make your home a beautiful place, that when people come in that space, they feel hospitality, they feel warmth, they feel nurtured, they feel loved. And so you move the furniture around, you get some paintings, you get some flowers, you invite people over, and it's a beautiful experience. So the next day, you do it again, or the next week, you do it again, or you find new ways to do it, and eventually you find that you are running a whole bed and breakfast or something for people. I don't know, but the ways that it could manifest itself are infinite. But all it takes is for us to acknowledge that we as souls are infinitely worthy, and that we have a right to listen to our heart, what is the call of beauty for us within our own heart. Now and now and now, each moment, in the small things, in the big things, what to us is the most beautiful next step? What is something we can do? What is something we can follow that beauty calls to us, that inspires us? By following that unfolding thread of beauty, the natural purpose that is what we are naturally expresses itself without the anxiety of our should and shouldn't mind trying to discover it, trying to prove our worth, trying to please the authority or gain the acceptance of the people around us who they themselves aren't living from their call of beauty. This, friends, to me, is purpose. You as a sacred child of the universe, your purpose is to continue the expansion of the universal creative unfolding. Your purpose is to be part of that creative unfolding, which is what you are by just your very nature and how you live. And your purpose is to continue that unfolding story by creating the next most beautiful possibility out of the circumstances and the materials of your unique experience of life. That is your purpose. And anything, any idea, any concept in your mind that brings in some should or shouldn't, some sense of judging whether this is worthy or unworthy, some sense of judging whether what you're doing is right or wrong, you need to put all of that aside. The reality of who you are is what is inherent in your heart and soul. That call of beauty within you is the deepest reality of who you are, calling to you and wanting to express itself. That is the universal creative intelligence wanting to express itself through you. It's only when we throw all of these should and shouldn'ts and can and can'ts and right or wrong boulders in that flow of universal unfolding that we feel the tension of anxiety, frustration, and unclarity, confusion. So take the boulders out of the stream, friends. Release all of your should and shouldn'ts. Acknowledge the beauty within your own heart. Acknowledge the right that you have to express your unique feeling of beauty. Acknowledge the love that created you, the love that is there for you, the love that you have come forth from, and the love that continues through you from the call of beauty and love in your heart. Acknowledge that, listen to it, tune into it, follow it, and deepen your relationship with it so that you can live each moment of your life with purpose, with meaning, as a child of the universe, extending the will of creation.
We are seeds in our Father's garden, personally chosen and sown, in the land where the sun is calling, planted where the rivers flow. But in our heart we know we're asked to grow and become all that we are. And we know inside to reach for the light and find our Father's arms. Oh, 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 oh. Raise our hands to the golden rays and breathe deep of the inspiration. Grow in love as the roots remain ever strong in our foundation. Because in our heart we know we're asked to grow and become all that we are. And we know inside to reach for the light and find out. Blossoming, blossoming, all you are, oh it's all within. Blossoming, oh blossoming, the garden awaits for what you bring. Because we're living in the garden, garden of the Father, to come into the fullness that we are. We're living in the garden, garden of the Father, to come into the fullness that we are. Oh, 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 oh. Every seed has its own. And every fruit has a certain sweetness. And every plant that grows has its very own mystery for all to witness. And then the garden longs to hear your song, to know your sacred fragrance. Even your Father waits to celebrate your blossoming, blossoming. All you are, oh, it's all within. Blossoming, oh blossoming, the garden awaits for what you bring. Because we're living in the garden, garden of the Father, to come into the fullness that we are. We're living in the garden, garden of the Father, to come into the fullness that we are. I say we're living in the garden, garden of the Father, to come into the fullness that we are. We're living in the garden, garden of the Father, to come into our Father's arms.